Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson, welcoming you to a cup full of goodness this morning. I'm speaking to you from the Dakotas, more specifically North Dakota, although I am originally from South Dakota, and you can't take the Dakota out of a person, but I will be speaking to you every morning, Monday through Friday at 8:30, for as long as we can keep this program on the air. I would like to concentrate this program on the goodness of God. However, I am famous for bunny trailing in many of my past sermons and teaching sessions. And besides, many of my sermons used to go over an hour and contained an average of 75 or so scripture references. So I will do my best to work on this 30-minute program. So grab your Bible and a pencil and paper and join with me every morning for a cup full of goodness, God's goodness, of course. Now, let's make this program here a program of introduction, kind of give you some ideas of what we're looking at here. I have a couple objectives, a couple goals for having this program, but before we get into those, I do believe that you'll enjoy hearing about the goodness of God, for one thing. There's nothing better than to hear just that statement, the goodness of God. And so many preachers and pastors, they don't talk about the goodness of God like the scriptures are referring to. So I think we'll have a great time over the next month or so or whatever, looking and studying the goodness of God. This will also be a chance for me to introduce my website to you. And that's where all the studies can take place, and you can look and you can kind of peruse through the whole thing and see what you think about it. But before I get into all the details of those things, let me also explain here that within this program, I will have insert a number of hymns. I would call them the old-fashioned hymns, played the old-fashioned way. On the website, it's listed as Simple Hymns Played Simply. I play these hymns as straight as can be. They make them singable. I've got hundreds of hymns on the website for you to sing along with. You can listen to them, you can play them, you can download them. They're all there for your downloading free, not a problem. But I will be playing segments of them and portions of them within this 30-minute program. So I hope you enjoy them. And it's kind of like this isn't how you hear them played anymore in most of the churches, it seems like. And I think some of the folks that are from the past, as I am, that you will appreciate and enjoy hearing the songs and singing along with them like we used to in the days when churches emphasized the preaching and the teaching out of a Bible and the songs were sung from our hearts, not from our flesh, not from our physical have a good time. I think you'll enjoy the music. So they'll be inserted in there quite often. And I'll show you, as I introduce you to the website, I'll show you more how to get to them, and you can find them here. So that takes care of that point. Well, let's take a short little break already this morning. And let me play one more song as I get my thoughts regrouped together. It took me for days to try to come up with some kind of an introduction to introduce this program to you folks. Coming from North Dakota, clear down to Texas, Fort Worth, Dallas, or is it Dallas-Fort Worth? And I'm looking greatly forward to the times we have together with our morning cup of goodness, as we call it. But let's take a few seconds here, and let me throw in another insert of another hymn I think you'd enjoy. We opened up the program today with, in every program I think will be opened up with, John Philip Sousa, the March King, an American. He was the Marine Band Director, and he wrote as many marches as Stars and Stripes Forever and Washington Post, some fantastic music. And I would say, as I've studied it out, it's probably the cleanest music you'll ever find. And we will have a chance to talk about music here one of these days, but for now, that was his arrangement of Sweet By and By. I hope you recognize that. Then the program this morning was started off with Wonderful Grace of Jesus, Redeemed, and What a Day That Will Be. So let's just add one more here. When We See Christ. Thank you. Well, let's get right into it this morning here. Let's get right into the website that this program is based from. And I'm going to pull it up in front of my screen here, and I would invite you to this website. This website's been around for since probably about 2009, maybe even earlier than that, I suppose. And it's full of things I don't even remember that are on there anymore. But what I'm going to do here this morning, I'm going to just kind of run through that main page and help you understand maybe how to find some things in there if you're interested. I hope you are. I hope you find this to be a fascinating study, full of studies, I guess. I don't imagine you'll have heard a lot of this stuff in different places. I'm not saying I'm the only man, the only pastor, the only preacher, the teacher that's ever done these things. But I do want to introduce you to this website. It's scatteredchristians.org. Scattered, as in S-C-A-T-T-E-R-E-D, Christians.org. And if you find that, and you will see that the top page 2014, preaching and teaching the way of God more perfectly, in more excellent way. Those are the words of Paul. And you'll see that there's a picture of a King James Bible on the front at the top up there. That King James Bible is an exact digitalized duplicate of the original 1611, as big as it was and heavy in those days with their print, everything like it was. And then it shows a hand text Bible that we have available today. Same words, same thing for 400 years. It's been around that long. You will recognize that is all I use, and we will talk about that more as we go here. But again, we're just looking at the website this morning. We say, stop here at this website. Stop here to learn about the goodness, the forbearance, the long-suffering of God. The verse this is taken from is in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? We have a tremendous emphasis in today's Christianity on what Paul calls the severity of God. And that was, the severity of God was put onto the Jews, obviously during the Old Testament, obviously during the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we find that as the major emphasis in so many of the churches today. Not realizing, like it says right here, like he says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If we, a person, were to find out how his salvation came about, not just by his faith, but what did Christ do? What did God do when that salvation clicked, as I guess I could say, when it took place? What are these things that God has done to make this dispensation of grace that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3 such a marvelous time? So that's what this emphasis will be on this program. The goodness of God, the forbearance of God, the long-suffering of God. Now, I have to say, and I'll be doing this as we go through the program here, you will not find the word goodness in any of the modern Bibles. King James Bible is the only one that actually calls it the goodness of God. So, obviously, I'm a King James man, but hope that doesn't scare you away. It doesn't scare you away. And I hope that you will, like Paul says, bear with me during this program and hear some absolutely fantastic things with an opportunity in the sidelight there to sing along with some hymns that you probably haven't sung in many, many a year. So anyways, as we scroll down the page here, you will see the phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth. I will tell you about that in a different program. And it's how that King James Bible suddenly loses all of its contradictions and confusions and becomes the easiest Bible of all to read. The bookstores say that it's a very difficult book. It's not. It was, when I was younger, a fifth grade level was what they said the King James Bible was, still is. Unfortunately, that the fifth grade level, the reading programs in our country schools have been so poorly presented that now a King James Bible is actually difficult for a lot of people to read. Shouldn't be. It's not a difficult book to read, but it isn't because of the book. It's because our reading skills have so diminished. So let's not try to blame God of having an antiquated and an old-fashioned book that nobody can read. But we'll say that for other times as well. You'll see six pictures there, and if you click on the picture, the first picture, offline internet church, it talks about we have a number of people that listen in to our sermons, and we have emails, and we keep track of each other, and offerings are given to keep the website going and to help others, as well as myself as a pastor here. There's a section you click how to simply understand the King James Bible. There's a number of sermons there, but it doesn't take all those sermons to do that. Just that it's a really complete study through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Rightly divided, we'll talk about that. Then the next picture there, the entire website, if you click on that picture there, it'll take you further down the page to anything and everything that's on the website. Next picture is called Scriptural Studies and Sermons on Music with Downloadable Piano Hymns. I have a number of sermons. I am a former music teacher, still am a music teacher, matter of fact, and I have studied the Bible thoroughly on music. It's been an absolutely fascinating study to learn about what the Bible says about music. And those sermons are available, teachings. I'll bring that up once in a while. You got sermon archive page there from 2004 to 2014. That's where you can go back and find sermons on anything and everything. And then there are 2 years of Old Testament sermons that I did in the Sunday school class, so the sound quality isn't the best, but it's done to the digital pocket mic back in the days when we didn't have all the pizzazz we have today. But it just goes through the Old Testament. A very general set of series of sermons. Learning to live the risen life. And one of the things I realized as a young pastor, an earlier pastor, and as a Christian, that there are directions in that Bible to how we should live what I call the risen life. It seems so many Christians are like still stuck on the cross. We're complaining about we can't do this, we can't do that, we're living ourselves and finding ourselves in bondage, we're preached to bondage, and no, we're to live an excited and post-crucified, a risen life with a risen Savior. And that's one of the main things we go through here. Preaching and teaching to the common Bible-believing faithful Christian. This whole website is geared to what I call the scattered Christian, that are all over the country, all over the world. We have listeners in many different countries. The music that I've recorded and made available on this website is played in churches all around the world because they have no accompanists that can play the hymns anymore, or they don't want to play the modern rock music or the CCM music or Christian contemporary Christian music scene. They don't want to do that. And to find somebody willing to play that, whatever, they just download these hymns and play those things. So this whole website is for that person who is realizing that something's not right within their church. The music has changed. The preaching has changed. The doctrines have changed. Something's wrong. And you're not comfortable with it. You're not satisfied with it. You know something's wrong, but you maybe not know what it is. And this will help you see what's going on. So this is just a site for the common Bible-believing, faithful Christian, sincere Christian is what I call us, is that you're actually serious. You want to try to be the Christian that Christ would have you be. But please get the idea, the idea that this is not a series on bondage. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about the grace of God and the goodness of God. But is that grace just a blanket check to do whatever you want to do? Is the goodness of God, is he just stepping aside and watching things take place? Does he not know what's going on? Questions I've had people ask me, where is God amongst all this? With our country doing what it's doing right now, and boy, if anybody ought to know what's going on in our country, it's you folks down in Texas, I'll tell you. But the government, the politics, and the educational world, and the families, and the things that are taking place are just mind-boggling. But what we're seeing is we're seeing a reprobate country that has just turned itself away from the Word of God, not just God, but from the Word of God. And this is what we see taking place. And the question is asked, well, where is God during all this? I've had people ask me, where is God in my life? And those are the questions that we'll deal with. And it's, I tell you, the answers are spectacular. They're exciting. People ask, why do my kids not want what we've had as parents? Well, lots of times kids figure out the falseness of something, the hypocriticalness of something, the hypocrisy of something. And they see us doing one thing and believing another, and they realize that something's not right, and they just grow up hating God, hating the Bible, and they think, well, see, God's not even around. There's no such thing. There's no God. Why would he allow this to happen to me? Why would he allow this disease, this sickness? Why would he allow this to take place in this country? Where's the judgment of God? Is this really the judgment of God we see taking place on America? Well, you haven't read Revelation if you think it is, because there's a lot worse things coming. But we'll deal with these things. This is for the Christian, the sincere about wanting to learn how to live a life that pleases God. Is that possible? It sure is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. That was a verse that started me on this thing way back in 2009. When I was a pastor, I was a Baptist pastor, and I started noticing some things in my reading and in my study and in my preaching, and I got to thinking, something's not right here. And we'll talk about that as time goes on. Anyway, back to the website. See, I bunny trail and ramble way too easily here. Okay, so let's keep going here. Here's the website contents. There's the sweet by and by again, you can see there. On the left column, you will see that we have audio sermons. Every sermon I've done pretty much from 2004, I think it is up there. But this is where you find the ones that I'm doing right now. 2014, there's a section you click who we are and who we are not. You'll find out more about me, what it is that I teach, what I believe, where I'm coming from. Who is this Paulson guy anyway? Where's he coming from? And some people say, I've heard that name. I've heard that name. Somebody really bashed that guy. He's gone off the deep end. You know, all sorts of things float around the Christian gossip phone. So they'll tell you who we are and who I am and who I am not, that type of thing. Keep on going down. You'll see some contrasts in Scripture. I'll explain that at a later date, but click on that thing, and you'll see some marvelous, marvelous awareness of a King James Bible when it comes to the teachings of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Hebrews and James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, compared to what Paul teaches. Major differences there. How can that be? How can there be such contradiction? What's going on here in this, in our religion today, in our churches, in our Christianity? Then you'll see that there's some articles there that have been written over the past years, King James only versus modern Bible versions. There's that. I'm sure Texas down there, you've heard this stuff many, many times. I've got maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 study charts that I've drawn up that you can copy, PDF copy them. And we'll talk about those someday. I've got a number of PowerPoint presentations on the website that help you just get an understanding of some of the different subjects that are talked about. Again, there's an archive sermon, short Bible studies that some of the men in my website have written for us, and we popped them on there. There's a number of personal testimonies if you want to see what this has done for other folks. And here's another title here, What's in the Old Testament for Us? Click those things and you find yourself a whole other world of Bible study there. And then, of course, there's our Good Morning Texas cup of goodness there. Let's go back up to the second side, the right side of the columns here. You'll see music, sermons, and studies. Now, there's a whole other world there of specific sermons and written Bible studies on music. Fascinating. One of them is called Absolute Music. Further on down that little column, you'll see that there's a number of different recordings, hundreds of hymns played in medley fashion or in individual fashion. You can sing along with them. All the verses are included. Nothing Dino style or nothing fantastic, fancy. It's just there they are. Like I said, they're played all over the world, many different churches all over the world, because they don't find this kind of music anywhere anymore, so they're there for you. There's a section on simple hymns simply played by a simple harp. There are some piano pieces I played for my grandkids. Grandkids? You've got grandkids? Yes, I've got grandkids. And I thought I'd play some Mozart and Chopin for them. So there's that there for you. Just listen to it as well if you'd like. Japheth Music, Listening and Appreciation. There's some more things I'm going to be putting on there that deal with music. then here's your complete series, How to Simply Understand the 1611 King James Bible. Ending down at the bottom, what I call Paul's Greater Commission. We know of the Great Commission, but there's a Greater Commission from Paul. And we will talk about the Great Commission versus Paul's Greater Commission. And like Paul says, he says, expounding the way of God more perfectly with, those are my words, expounding the way of God more perfectly with Paul's gospel, as he says in Corinthians, show I unto you a more excellent way. Paul is all about the risen Savior. He's teaching the things that Christ met with Paul face to face and said, Paul, you need to take these to the Gentiles. You need to teach that to these people. And, that's rightly dividing the word of truth. We will talk about that very quickly. We will get right into that here, starting with tomorrow's program probably. But then you go down the site, you see rightly dividing the word of truth. You see the verses that have been my core verses for me since I've started preaching these things here. Again, there's 1 Corinthians 12:31. Show I unto you a more excellent way. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, Romans chapter 10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Fantastic set of verses we'll talk about. Acts 28, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Christ Paul's talking about here. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Acts 13, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That's the verse I use for what I call Paul's greater commission. And then keep scrolling down. We see in Acts 26, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's the purpose of going to Paul for our teachings. To make thee a minister, that's Paul, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Who shall bring you unto remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church? Paul's teachings are to be taught in church. And I guarantee you, from what I have seen over the years in the country and heard from people all over the country and world, that's not taking place anymore. So go ahead and read down from the rest of that website page there. If you're there, you want to go to it, it's www.scatteredchristians.org. And it'll open up a world of Bible study for you. I will be picking some things from there as we go on. But that's pretty much the introduction to our program, and it's the Word of God. It is the words of God, and they don't need to be changed, and the differences are what I would call mind-boggling, but sad to say, most folks just aren't interested in it anymore. Most folks actually are more interested in their music, I've learned, than their scriptures, than their Bible, than their preacher, than doctrine. Music has become the god of most Christians today. So we'll talk about these and other things as time goes on. Well, I think it's time to close the program this morning. So I will go back and review my quality, adjust some sounds and try to make this thing as pleasant for you to listen to and relax and enjoy as we study the Word of God, the words of God together about the goodness of God with a little music on the side. We'll see you at the next program. I hope to have you come back for a second visit. As a pastor, I was always excited to have first-time visitors, but I was really excited when a second-time visitor came in and a third-time visitor because they were coming back for more. That's what was exciting.